Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay! Hello, we made it. This is so cool. So here we are, joining again for Sacred Sexuality. We get to explore some meditations, discussion awareness, stories of possibility, and really new things emerge each month. So this has been really exciting. I'm really honored to have shared in this program now for several years, and I look forward to today exploring a new topic. All of it, for me, hinges on what's it like to listen to your body. Let's slow down, take a moment and kind of plug in and get here together, and then we'll emerge from there. So begin with me by taking a breath, inviting a little exhale with some sound. And as you do, start to turn your awareness inward to feel what is it like to take a moment today of noticing your body. I find myself sometimes spinning, going quickly into my head, zooming around in my day. An invitation here to take a breath. Rewind for a moment, feel and connect with your body, your midline, in whatever way that resonates for you, and your ground, feeling the earth, inviting any energy that's buzzing around, anything that no longer serves, to drop away with that exhale with sound. And on an inhale, invite in the quality of lightness, a sense of ease, of peace. As you acknowledge, what's it like to be here in a body? So as we settle in, the exhales, noticing how that sound, if you make a little sound, can give yourself permission to let go of things that don't serve. Make a little space, maybe some potency, some possibility for inviting in light, life, vibrancy, and what you choose. With the breath of gratitude for taking time for you, for holding this space of possibility. Gently opening your eyes, returning your awareness to the space, and being here. Yay! So I'm excited today. We are exploring a topic that was inspired by something that kind of happened recently, which is really about what I'll call the topic, moving through an ORI by listening to your body. Now, you might say right away, what is an ORI? And I'm going to explain that. So moving through what I will call an orgasmic or an orgasm related injury, the sense of something kind of just went a little funky in my body right now. Whoa, what was that? And this came from, literally the name of that came from my love, who I delight in, who was kind of given a little giggle as we were relating to this experience in the afterwards time, of, oh my gosh, you know, something, some big energy just moved and my body responded in an interesting way that really felt quite painful. And the journey of resolving that, of listening to my body and finding the space where that shifted. And this is what I want to share a bit about. So What is an ORI? It is an orgasm-related injury. You may or may not have ever experienced one of these. My story that I want to share is my version of what that means for me today. And it's, you know, it's that our sexual energy is pretty powerful stuff. So letting ourselves trusting being in our sexual energy and our vibrancy, that can be new territory for how things move in the body. And as I've been on this path of exploration of really deeply listening to my body, I've noticed different things over a lot of years. Most recently what happened, or to set the stage for that, I have really been noticing ways that I can run and move energy and invite it through different pathways in my body. So we've talked before about orgasm and sexual energy doesn't have to be only genitally localized. Often it is, and that's okay. Fun, feels good. And we can bring this energy into other parts of the body, and we can use that really intentionally. We can work with it and for wholeness and healing and really connection deeply with our partners and with divine and transcendence into really that oneness, that space of love as a state of being, as well as really creating, manifesting, you know, our sexual energy, that primal force. It is our creational life force. It's how we got here. And we can also use it to work to sort of hold space for creative possibilities in our lives. Maybe that's not just creating a human being, but projects and things. So for me in this recent exploration, or in the heading into this recent exploration, I've been doing a lot of awareness of bringing my sexual energy up through my body and noticing really profound differences of how it can move, whether it's in the front of my body or the rear of my body. And these are different energetic pathways, and they can be named by different deep spiritual traditions in different ways. Suffice it to say, what I've noticed for now, just for awareness here, is that I find if I really bring my energy forward in my body, so in my pelvis, if we think of the pelvis as having regions of root gates, and we've explored how our root gates, if we think of the center of our body and the central channel, that the perineal area is the center. And then moving forward in a female body, I may have the vaginal opening and then the clitoral, the external part of the clitoris, which has a deep internal facet as well. But if we think of those, then rearward of that central channel of the perineal area, I also have the anus and the coccygeal plexus, a nerve bundle associated with the tail and the midlines in the back of the body. Now, if I, in a male body, that center being the perineum, as I move forward, there's an energetic etheric opening in the scrotum and then the head of the penis that are the analogous versions. So now if I think about that, primarily early on in my sexual history, there's been just a ton of running energy clitorally. Like that's just been what's been really accessible. It's the part of the exterior of the body. It's like I talk about in some of my other teachings around like moving into the deep holy spaces inside of the body. The clitoris is accessible from the outside, and so it's just in a different emotional content. It can be that fiery place. It's a little what I call yang. It's action and it's forward. It's the sort of active part of the energy I find. Now, when I get really driven into my clitoris, if I'm only in my clitoris, that sexual energy gets really kind of pointy, energetically, sort of driven and goal-oriented. And again, these are all lovely things. There's just also another side to them because there's also a deep yin space. Well, in this particular, the yin space, I'll say, is a little, for me, it's a little more rearward. It's a little more soft and opening and allowing. And it's deep, deep in the pelvis and deep in the outward expression of pelvis, not pulled in and up so much as down and out and wide, which is a different expression of the energy or the way to work with the energy in my experience. So if we come back to when I find myself all forced forward and I'm running the energy in this really yang state, that could be fun. And certainly there's times I like to go there. And there's times when going deep and wide are delightful. And frankly, they take longer, like to really cultivate that energy of in and down and wide and more rearward in the channels, literally into the back into the spine and and through some of the tail and anal channels of the body, it's a different experience. It's longer, it's supple, it's deep, it's wide. And this particular day, my partner and I were exploring my love, and we were kind of diving in for kind of this quick expression of energy, and I felt myself just delighting in being really clitoral. So it was kind of an active forward, outward energy, and it was very much in the front of my body, and not in that deep, wide space. Again, none of these are bad, just different. So as I explored really deepening in or expanding, or I'll just say building towards this very, I could kind of feel that orgasm on the horizon, right? And that's fun too. There's times I love to let go of having to have this goal-oriented quality. And then there's times it's really nice to feel it like, oh yeah. And that was one of these. So there was a lot of tension in my body and a lot of tension in my pelvis and in my legs. So my legs wanted to be down and straight, but I still wanted them to be open. So there was this kind of contracting, fighting against myself kind of tension in my hips and sacrum and pelvis, and built to this really beautiful orgasm that was pretty focused in the front of my body, fun and delightful. Ah, this was a beautiful expression. We got to rest together through the night and into the morning. What I recognized also in that experience was, this has happened before. Well, I feel like this cramping. I'm so tight and so like moving things really tensely that my left hip and leg were really tensing up, and sometimes to the point of literally cramping. Like I'm getting a cramp in my left kind of glute area. Or I'll just say hip musculature. There's a lot of little muscles in there that I'm not sure exactly which one was lighting up, but there was definitely a lighting up. So it was like this crampy, oh no, I want to try it. So I'm trying to, during the process of building to this orgasm, trying to let that go. And then that's not really working, but okay, if I can shift a little bit, and then there's building. And so the orgasm releases, it feels really lovely. We hold the space of just really, I love to just absorb the energy of feeling, resting in an orgasm, so to speak that for a moment. So often we rush past that, like, oh gosh, I had one, it's over, okay, now let's move on to the next thing, you know, roll over and go to sleep or whatever. So we really just rested in the depths of the spaciousness of this sacred chrysalis, this cocoon of energy that we are co-creating together when we are sharing an orgasm. The next day I woke up with a pretty severe pain in my hip, like what I perceive to be at my sacroiliac joint. So there's a place in the pelvis, in the pelvic bowl, where the sacrum and the iliac crest come together. And that is a small, it's a gentle joint. They we perceive the pelvis as being sort of this rigid bowl. And the reality is our bones breathe and move and shift. And so this, in this little place, I perceived a strong pain as if a nerve was being activated or something to that. But the way I perceived it was discomfort, pain, kind of coming up into my back. I couldn't move very well. And I really worked to ground and connect with the energy. And immediately I thought, I think I kind of just hurt myself through this orgasm. So this is the nature of what we're calling now an orgasm-related injury, an ORI. And I say it with a little jest, and I say it with all seriousness. There are times where our sexual energy can run in a way that can be like not what we expect. It's powerful. So really bringing that awareness of choice and empowerment to how we choose to work with the energy, which I had chosen. So here I am now in a bit of discomfort and pain. And my body was like, oh gosh, what do I do? So I started to listen. And the next piece of what I want to share is about that, this deep listening that I did with my body and bringing this beautiful awareness of the value of listening, slowing down, and coming into relationship. So listening, slowing down, and coming into relationship with my own body. And that's how it began that day. And I had this exquisite, like, it is no doubt that it's so interesting how the universe works, because as all of that was emerging, what's happening at the same time in my life at that time is I'm in this deep training and inquiry with a powerful healing modality that's called biodynamic cranial sacral therapy. And I got called to that path briefly by just spirit guiding me, like, you need to find out what cranial sacral is all about. Like, and I knew nothing about it. And so through this series of synchronistic events, I got guided into meeting with and having an introductory work kind of a practice that where spirit was like, you must train with this person, with my teacher. And I embarked on this 3-year extensive training program for this modality that I really intellectually had no plans forever, you know, like I didn't think I wanted to really train to become a biodynamic cranial sacral therapist. Like that wasn't, I perceived a calling. However, now that I'm almost 2/3 of the way through this 3-year program, the profound nature of what it is meaning for me is absolutely deeply related and connected with this path and this journey. So I want to take a moment to now bring that piece of the equation in, of what's it like, of the nature of stillness and of healing and of wholeness, and the very foundation that is integrating and resonating in my body as a result of this work, and how it weaves back. And then we're going to bring it back, and we're going to weave it back to how does that, what does that have to do with my ORI, my orgasm-related injury? They're very connected. So let's take a moment for a bit of a break, and we're going to come back to deepen in that exploration of stillness and healing possibility.
Thank you, Leslie. You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is July 21st, 2015, and you're listening with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk with Leslie or have a question related to the show, please give us a call at 646-378-0378. And that number again is 646-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Courtney. Awesome. So we're exploring today, moving through an ORI, an orgasm-related injury, by listening deeply to your body. We're going to take a moment now. I want to share the inspiration of how deep stillness and relationship and being can, and listening to our bodies, can make changes that are just absolutely mind-blowing in my case, or I'll say unbelievable, to the point of absolutely they're believable because they're so unbelievable. So I want to take a moment now and let's expand on what do I mean, this, what has been this inspiration of this healing path that I've been exploring. And my calling to the work really came from the deep spiritual and intuitive guidance as I sank into, again, going, I'm supposed to train with this, but I don't exactly know why. I don't think it's the certificate I'm going for, but hey, that might be a part of it and whatever. And I encourage, let me pause on that note, to really sink in. When you're connecting with your authentic purpose, when you're really feeling like, what is it I'm meant to do on this planet? Things like this happen. Like I can't underscore this enough, seeing it now for 15 years or so. How I would be guided towards something and just my rational brain would be like, what? Why are you supposed to, you're not supposed to do that. That makes no sense. Like I had no rational intellectual reason for something. And yet when I went, oh, my body is ringing, like it is zinging my joy barometer. I am just getting tingles. I know I am supposed to explore this. I don't know why. It makes no rational sense. The more I went, oh, I'm going to do it anyway, because I can feel that it's right and I don't have to figure out why yet. Wow. Profound. That has been so powerful for me I've seen it happen over and over again. And it started kind of small, like, okay, just this little thing, do that. And like, oh, that opened a door I didn't even know I needed to name to ask for, right? So my intellectual, rational brain of my science self for years always thought I had to figure out the whole plan, like lay out the goals, meet the goals one by one, and you will get what you want. And that's true. It's a pretty effective way of working with some things. When you can bring that in conjunction with feeling where is the alignment, wow, do things line up? And it becomes like this exponential possibility of really being truly who you are. So in this case, that's kind of what happened with me. I'm like, I just know I need to go do this. I don't really know why. Okay, let's go. And sense, here's what's starting to come through. As I've deepened into the training, there's this piece of me. We've talked before about this feminine masculine balance and how crucial, and that's not gender, right? So these qualities of energy of our masculine fiery self with our feminine feeling allowing. So our thinker planner in conjunction with our feeler intuitor, as well as the doing in balance with the being. As I embarked on this training, I've been satiated on both sides of that, right? So there's this exquisite place of stillness and possibility that the work is deeply rooted in, which I'll come back to. And then there's the science of like, why? So while I don't need to name every reason why for my rational brain, it sure is nice to have some nuggets to kind of grab onto, I find. And so that in my spiritual path, when I glance upon that nugget that says, wow, there really is research that's showing that this X, Y, or Z is making sense, it's like there's this deeper part of me that goes, or, you know, this additional part of me that starts aligning with it. So instead of fighting myself back and forth, which I still do, but I used to do a lot, which was like, I think I kind of believe in that, but, well, that doesn't make sense, and I'm a scientist, so you can't prove it, it can't be right, you know? And wow, has that shifted for me. So here's a little bit of how my science geek got satiated. So I'm going to touch on 4 points here of what, to me, this work, the biodynamic, specifically biodynamic cranial sacral. There are many schools of cranial sacral teachings. And the exploration that I'm doing, the importance is to note the biodynamic, which is a slightly different approach. They all have kind of their same roots. The roots are from a very structural osteopathic path, and that's great, right, to have some anatomy and awareness. Biodynamic has really also started to notice, I'll use the word spiritual, whether or not the school would actually say that, but the very spiritual and shamanic nature of being, and that's what's been resonating. So 4 things, slowing down. So first of all, did you know that our bodies actually do resonate with rhythms much slower than our heart rate or respiratory breath, like lung breath? For me, that's all I knew for a long time. Like, oh yeah, I have a heart rate and I have a breath rate. There is a deep value into sinking deeply into the fluid tides within and around the body that have rates that are much slower. To relate to those within us, to hold space and relate to those with others and with the earth and the world around us, is absolutely expansive and just filled. I feel it filled with primal opportunity. And then another note is getting juicier. So, you know, I'm coming from this place where it's like, and I'll mention this now, you know, how often do you feel stressed out? Pressed for not enough time in the day. You're just, you know, mind is racing and you're overwhelmed, feeling gripping, stuck spots, tightness, discomfort, pain, depressed, anxious, or dis-ease. These are the things I knew well. And what this practice of slowing down, you know, when we get juicier, when we really slow down and allow the parasympathetic nervous system to come online. So within the autonomic nervous system, or what I'll call the part of our nervous system that kind of runs everything without our conscious control, with a slight caveat on that, there are some ways to bring consciousness control to the autonomic nervous system in the deep paths of yoga, for example. But other than that, setting that for aside, the autonomic nervous system is this part of us, our nervous system, that kind of takes care of all the stuff, the digestion, the quick, you know, the quick fight or flight response, the breathing, all these things that we sometimes don't think of, they just happen. So the parasympathetic nervous system of that is the juicy side. It's the rest and digest. So that there's a 20 to 30% increase in the production of cerebrospinal fluid when we slow down and let that system come online. So we literally get juicier. So when we're feeling fried or burned out, you know, this juiciness can be the very that we've been seeking for our bodies. And our bodies are, we're made primarily of water. So to rest in the juiciness of letting our systems reconnect with that fluid nature is profound. I'll name another one, letting go. Let's let go. When we're trying to let go, we're not letting go. So there's no doing to the letting go process. That's a tough one for my intellectual brain. So now, scientifically, a little piece of what's going on is our fascia, the connective tissue through our whole body, it has smooth muscle fibers in the fascia. And those smooth muscle fibers are controlled by that autonomic nervous system. That's the nervous system where we literally, this is not the part of the nervous system where we can pick up our arm to, you know, raise a mug of tea. Right? That's a different part of the nervous system. This is the side that says, you know, we can't do it. There's no doing. We literally cannot do the relaxation of those fibers that are in that connective tissue. It's about slowing down to allow them to let go and to unwind. This is profound to me as I've really felt into this. The fourth piece is shining our light. We literally are light beings. We are infinite beings in finite form. And that liquid light is, you know, our cerebrospinal fluid, literally our divine nature, the essence of our soul, our divine nature, are embodied in the fluids of our body, especially in the CSF. Literally, scientists have shown that Mei Wan Ho is one reference. She, her work has shown with a light detecting electron microscope how even single-celled animals and all beings, incarnate beings, have a midline of light in their bodies. That when the physical body dies and passes on, that light doesn't disappear. It just moves on and up and moves out. Wow! Like, to me, that was profound and a beginning of the piece of an awareness that I had already felt related to, but it's giving a little bit of a nugget of, oh, that's making sense for my science side of my brain. So the CSF, the cerebrospinal fluid, it's produced in the ventricles of the brain and it bathes our central nervous system. So, and that if we really think about the possibility, I'll just invite it, that we, that are essentially our soul being is really embodied in our body and embodied in that light, then this next piece also just made me go, wow, that there's a place in the heart known as the natural pacemaker. So it's this group of cells that sends electrical impulses to tell the heart to keep beating. This is the sinoatrial node. It's known as the SA node. And so scientists know that, yep, okay, that seems to be the group of cells that, that tells the heart, let's keep going, keep beating, yep, I'm giving you instructions. However, scientists really don't currently have an explanation for what tells the SA node to keep working. So this is what kind of got me zingy, what I learned. When our cerebral spinal fluid, which is to me the very embodiment of our own light, of our own soul essence, when it returns from the brain down to the heart and sort of the cycle that it flows, it drops right down into this spot in the heart. In other words, for me, a profound awareness of the possibility that it is the very embodiment of our soul in our being, our soul essence in our physical form, that is what tells us to keep ticking. Like, wow. And so incidentally, this spot happens to also be known as the seat of the soul in some ancient deep spiritual traditions. So imagine what the power of our self-awareness and the healing that we have when we can relate to and let this fluid be heard. And I'll say this, to let the divine nature of who we are and how we, that is always available, like the essence of an ordering principle, a field of awareness that's always available to us. By slowing down, it's just like our body gets to go, oh, I remember. And we can realign to the very nature of our that ordering principle or that original template of who we are in our fullest, brightest health. So that health, that access to that field is always available. And sometimes we just have lost sight of it a little bit. And again, no reason to beat ourselves up for that if something's wonky, but what's it like to go, oh, maybe I could reconnect with that and learn from it. So this is a multi-layered thing. This is not just a physical thing. This is the physical body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, the mental body, all of our bodies and the way they interrelate are connected with slowing down, listening, relating to the presence that is available to us and relating to other beings. So one more facet of this is that stuck spots and areas of pain, I'll invite you to think of it this way, that there are ways that our vibrancy and our life energy, this I'll use the term breath of life from the work, from the biodynamic work, that's like that ever-present, the breath of life is that ever-present life energy that we can tap into. So that stuck spots and areas of pain are just ways that our vibrancy and our life force energy are compensating for and centering the impact of things in our life, right? Experiences. So we'll call those, you know, stuff in our regular workday, or things like traumas, toxins, pathogens, daily stressors. So that by compensating, by holding them, this loving breath of light awareness comes in and goes, ah, I gotcha. That it goes, yeah, I will hold you in the place that limits the effect to the system into what it is currently capable and resourced to work with. What a sweet gift, right? So in my case, I had this ORI, this orgasm-related injury, where suddenly I'm dealing with some pain. How grateful am I that actually was kind of being held by something that says, okay, well, this is about all that's ready for this moment, so let's just hold here. Even though it's a little uncomfortable, it's better than if, say, it overwhelmed my system. So by supporting the system to feel resourced in a way that those areas can unwind and let go, not only can we reduce or eliminate the pain or discomfort, but the very vibrancy held in that pattern, that life force energy I'm talking about, that breath of life that's holding there and just saying, I gotcha for the moment, this is what we got. That vibrancy that is held there, it gets released. So it's like, ah, I've now unwound it in a way so that it's now available to my being. So literally it gives us access to more energy for our lives. How profound is that? When we can slow down, and this is all literally from coming into relationship with a path that's not about manipulation. It's not about pushing or forcing or telling the body to do something. It's not about fixing. It's about listening. So in the nature of the work, it's about slowing down, negotiating where I am as a practitioner, if I'm holding space for someone, or let's say I'm in the place of being held, we're going to talk about this, weave in from my story from the beginning. But it's the work then becomes about resting into stillness and feeling perhaps fluidic, tide-like motion. You can sometimes feel a bunch will just come up as we start to slow down. Levels of stillness is vast. They're vastly a huge vast spectrum of what stillness can even look like. What I knew as stillness 15 years ago, 20 years ago, oh my gosh, I now see how much I never really found stillness. Even sleep wasn't necessarily stillness. And that stillness isn't that there's lack of motion, by the way. There's motion in the stillness. Our bodies are fluid and rhythmic. But that zing, that hyper-anxious, overactive mind and the body that's responding with it and is on high alert and then frying because it's on high alert and working overtime, these types of things can totally give space for shifting. So in a session, the types of things that I've experienced, and I invite like awareness, there can be long periods where you don't notice a whole lot, so to speak, yet profound stuff is happening. There can be even, I've had this sense of falling asleep or going into deep dreamlike spaces. And then for me, I get worried, like, oh, if I fall asleep, is somebody going to just like leave me here? Like, no, acknowledging that when I'm giving a session, I really relate this to people, like, I'm here. I will tell you when things are complete. So let yourself relax into that deep space. How often do we give ourselves that permission? So, there also can be profound experiences beyond words, beyond time and space, huge shifts. What I've noticed and what I've heard is that these changes that do happen in the body, even when we can't name them intellectually, they are happening. They're profound. They continue as we slow down. They continue as we continue to acknowledge and bring conscious awareness inside our body, even on our own. So I'm not saying this has to be, I only go do a session like this. I'm relating this to how this is something you can hold. We can hold this for ourselves. I literally hold this awareness for myself often in just a self-structured relaxation that invites my body to let go. So the changes become they're lasting, they're cumulative. We're literally inviting, instead of pushing a bone or tissue and saying, you should be here instead, we're saying, let's listen. Where does that inherent nature tell you? What is it asking for right now? How is the body resourced in a way to shift right now? We have the deep capacity. This is a very shamanic piece where we're dancing in the realm of nonlinear time, coming back to early embryonic and birth patterns that get stored that can set up our adult lives for one way of patterning. Literally, some of the things we're working with chronically in our adult lives were set up from points from conception, even preconception, on through the process of the embryonic development and birth. Now, does that say we go back and blame the birth process or blame mom? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what's it like to acknowledge and really bring into your own being that as these things have happened in your life, this breath of life, this loving force came in and said, oh, I'll hold you in this right now, because that's how we're resourced to handle it. So what's it like to resource ourselves, to trust ourselves, to slow down enough to listen, to perhaps invite new states of being? And that embryonic, that primal potency of how we develop as an embryo, is there. It's always there. So we can sink back in and in the way that the butterfly, the caterpillar, goes into sort of a primordial ooze inside the sacred chrysalis before it becomes a butterfly. Like literally, it's not like the caterpillar is growing wings. It morphs and fluidically goes back into like a primal soup where it reforms from the template that says butterfly. Like, whoa, again, we can kind of hold ourselves in fluid space that says, in stillness that says, my body knows. I can remember and now reemerge with a new possibility. And it comes from just layers of resourcing and possibility, not pushing, not forcing, not getting rid of or cutting out, simply being with and allowing the transformation that happens through slowing down, listening, and in the case of this work, relating with another being quite directly in a specific process. And this particular path of work, it involves coming into relationship and contact in a clothed environment on a massage table, but without manipulation, it's not a massage. It can be literally stillness and maybe contact at one place in the body for a half an hour to an hour or more, maybe contacted several spaces. So this is the nature of stillness that I'm talking about, like minutes and minutes and minutes of just be profound. So now with that as a basis, I want to take the way we began, a bit of the story around this pain that I was dealing with. So as I've now been in this training, I was literally in a four-day module. I was at day four of a four-day module. And as I listened, or as I woke up that morning with pain, I went, oh, wow. And I did some of my own listening. I stepped out onto the land. I grounded. I just invited the energy pathways in my body to see and connect and have some flow. And these were things that I found very supportive. I realigned and sat in stillness. I ate and drank and nourished my body in the morning ways that I do. And did some body brushing. That's also another part of one of my morning things that helps. To me, it feels like it helps connect my body together. And it still is a little uncomfortable. So I get in my car for this drive to this class and thinking, okay, I'm going to sit in this car. And so now I get to the class and I'm still pretty uncomfortable. And I start, the pain has subsided a bit. Now I'm doing some structured relaxation with my legs on a chair in a certain way. And again, it's all about stillness. You know, there's part of me that wants to push at it. Like, I want to push this spot that feels like it's stuck. And I did my best to release pushing at it. And then I went and I was so grateful to be held in a circle of beautiful beings who are sharing this class together. And by being in that field and then by having the gift of sharing sessions, we did session trades back and forth in this work. Through the course of that day, through spaciousness, through stillness, listening, through being held and related to by another beautiful being that's saying, I'm here to listen to and not force. This very nature of that type of slowing down, the pain released completely. It was gone by the end of the day. I felt some tightness, like a bit of a band across my lower lumbar, and I think that was primarily where my muscles had been gripping to sort of compensate. So that tightness lasted for maybe another day, and it released. So what I want to really invite here is the power of listening. I listened to my body, and it said, ouch. And in my past, I would have taken some medication. I would have pushed at it. I would have forced it. I would have gone on with some active part of my day, kind of ignoring it. These are things I did often. Kind of medicate it to kind of numb it out. And instead I said, no, okay. I had the gift where I could really listen, slow down, relate to the earth, nourish my body in the ways that I know. And again, relate to and trust in the circle of beautiful beings that I'm in relationship with this class so that we could rest together. And frankly, I didn't even name it. So it was, I'm not sure if anybody even knew I was dealing with this. Maybe a little bit of discomfort. So it wasn't like we were focused on this pain. What we did instead is we just focused on well-being. And there are some deep, some profound practices in the work about grounding, centering, relating, listening, getting out of the way, giving space, holding, but not getting so bound up in it that it's suffocating and uncomfortable. And all of this, I mean, in an energetic way, like picture visually as I'm describing all these things. If you were to watch that session that I was lying in, you'd see a person sitting at the table with their hand maybe at my sacrum and me lying on a table, clothed, and you'd see stillness. As an observer, you'd go, there's nothing happening. As an observer, you might say, why is this even valuable? What are you doing? For me, I know I couldn't have related to the power of stillness 15 years ago in the way that I do now. I would have laid down for a session like that and been like, okay, what are you doing? Okay, do something. You got to do something. For something to happen, you got to do something. So I would have been expecting so much more active work. So it's vulnerable and a little uncomfortable for me to even talk about, like, yes, really, the value in slowing down and the stillness. I was literally, through my own relating to my own body, relating to the earth, supporting and nourishing my way, myself in the way I needed, and then trusting and relating with some other beings in my life and trusting that relationship. Through that, listening to my body, I was able to release a pain, a pretty significant pain and discomfort that was quite acute in no time at all. And that, to me, illustrates the power of what's it like to slow down, notice, listen to your body, honor it with the shifts and changes it needs, notice again that, oh, wow, this feels really great. And then, and even if it's just a little bit of that really great, right? Like, again, even if it's just, wow, so it is a little better. Instead of going, oh, it's only just a little better, it's wow, it's a little better. That now I'm celebrating it. And that wonder, awe, and gratitude is the nugget. That is the core, the piece to me of really allowing it to take it to the next step. That's the thing that helps us swim in that upward spiral instead of just only going into that place of self-loathe or I can't do it good enough. Because you can do it good enough. You are capable. And that's what I want to invite. All of this that I just described, it's not to say you have to go have a session. It's not to say you have to go do something. It's to say this power and this value of listening to your own body is what gives you the set of tools of awareness of what pieces are right for you. It may be go get a session. It may be get some body work or have another connection or whatever. There's so many ways we can work with our bodies. But until we can listen to our own message and not what somebody else is saying is the list of things or the drugs to take or the thing, like bring your, allow and trust your wisdom is resourced from within and that you have that case, that capability and that capacity. And when you feel like, oh, okay, within that, I'd love some support like that. Sure. Great. Reach out. Absolutely. And meet with teachers and fellow people, like we're all teachers for each other. So when I say teachers, it doesn't have to mean in a formal teacher relationship, but just like the people you relate with, let those relationships happen. Let that relating happen. That's how we experience and move and change and grow in life. And that can be scary because I know for me, there was a lot of stiff arm. I'm going to keep everyone at bay and just do it all myself. I'm not going to let anybody in because I can just do this all myself. So that self-reliance is an important skill. If it becomes hyper, just keep everybody out because I'm going to be militantly independent, that is not necessarily as supportive, right? There are times when collaboration and interdependent sharing experiences and relating are incredibly profound. Your information on that is what I invite you to tap into. And so with that, we're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and bring this into our bodies.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find out all of her contact information. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself with this audio CD. Order online, see the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD, a guided practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. Curious about Mystery School of the Temple Arts offerings, but not sure where to start? Join us at a temple community gathering. The next one is Sunday, September 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School of the Temple Arts, getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and we love seeing how spirit guides us together. The gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome and not required. please email Leslie to RSVP and for location details. The best way to get announcements about upcoming classes is to subscribe to the email newsletter, about 1 to 2 per month, link available under contact at the website. Announcing Leslie's new monthly Sacred Sexuality video cast. You choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website under event calendar to join in. The next one is Wednesday, August 5th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website at mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you, Courtney. And I'll invite you all to take a breath with a bit of sound on an exhale. And give yourself a moment to check in with your body. What are you noticing in this moment as you settle in? Perhaps relating to the way you're relating to the earth, the ground. Bringing your awareness back wide in your body, feeling the midlines. Perhaps that's your spine, central channel, many ways you can relate to what's the midline in your body. Let it be yours, whatever that emerges for you. And a relaxation into letting go into ground, to plug in. You can think of this as dropping a little ground cord from your coccyx or tailbone, maybe from the central channel, maybe from all of the root gates, just letting yourself settle. And as you do, acknowledge again those 4 steps I mentioned, the body wisdom toolkit. So noticing your body, that's how it all starts, to listen. You may notice a spot. What's it asking for? Make a little shift. Change your position. I'm noticing my leg is asking for a change of position. So I adjust for that. And I might notice different mind stuff, lots of mental. That's okay. Listen to them. Let them float on. And underneath that, really listening, what's my body saying? And as you notice it, acknowledge it, make a shift. Notice again, like, I shifted my leg. That felt better. A little tenderness I was feeling in my knee has shifted. And now I can celebrate that, to really acknowledge it. Like, I did that. I listened. And my body then thanks me. It thanks me by revealing and unwinding and shifting and changing and growing. So take a moment to acknowledge that as something to take with you. You can really begin to notice, make shifts, notice again, celebrate them, and celebrate them with a happy dance. Like, literally give yourself a little wiggle. Woo! That wiggle, that embodied practice of smiling from the inside out, you know, just somehow relate it to a physical expression. It's powerful for the neurons and wiring in your brain and your body and the way you're all connected. It really starts to bring it in to your body, which is what this is about. Embodying, trusting being in here, noticing where there's been some resistance to that without beating ourselves up. So taking a moment to breathe in that awareness that in this moment, by relating to that possibility, opening to receive the knowing of relating that possibility within your own deep being. Taking a moment to open to receive that bit of that transmission. And as you do, acknowledging it's not always a cognitive thing, let yourself trust what your body receives, feel it, know it. And with a breath of gratitude, again, for taking time for you to be authentically who you are, to feel good about that, I invite you to take a breath. Bring these noticing practices into your day. Notice what emerges and give yourself permission to have joy. With a breath of gratitude and joy for each of you sharing and in the live show here and also as it is off in the ethers after today. Deep gratitude. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website, mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, which is a private temple studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and have a wonderful rest of the month.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.